wheelchair because I was born with not strong legs and I couldn't walk or I couldn't crawl or anything. So I got a wheelchair when I was 2 years old and I've been driving it ever since. Well, I can't run and stuff like that. I can't do stuff that other kids can.
Just because she's different doesn't mean she doesn't, like, you know, fit in. And, like, sometimes people will just stare at her. It's like, normal person, you're a human being. So my whole life would probably be different if she didn't have her disease. If she has a challenge, I want to help her, like, achieve it or something like that, and do whatever I can to help her.
I wouldn't have someone that could pick up things for me when I drop them, and I wouldn't have a good brother to help me with the stuff I need to be helped with, and it's just easier for me to go through life with a big brother like Trenton.
It helps me, like, with my maturity level. It helps me become more responsible, like, to help. I can help her pick up stuff, and if a random person drops things, that helps me, like, oh, they dropped it, and they, like, I can help them and go get it. A 5K run, and when you go there, you pay, and then they're raising money for a cure so they can walk. So lots of people run. I always do it every year to support her.
It feels good that I have a brother that would run and do stuff for me, and so that it just really feels good.
She's one of the center priorities of my life. Like, I would take a bullet for her, and,
she's my best friend. I would do anything for her. My life would be nothing without her.
Brotherly love, sisterly love. It's something that we're going to talk about today. And we're not going to be talking about brotherly love, sisterly love as in the brothers and sisters that we were born with, but we're talking about brothers and sisters that are sitting right next to you today. Last week's, we've talked about loving your neighbor, and the week before that we talked about loving God. And today, look to your right, look to your left, and if you're on the side, just ignore the wall. These are your brothers and sisters. These are your Christian brothers and sisters, and we are commanded to love. 1 John 3:14-15 says, "If we love our Christian brothers and sisters, it proves that we have passed from death to life. But a person who has no love is still dead. Anyone who hates another brother or sister is really a murderer at heart. And you know that murderers don't have eternal life within them." By showing love to one another, we prove that we have been changed from death and now have life. We have Christ living within us. There should be a marked difference in how we treat one another now versus how we treated one another before we came to Christ. How we treat one another now should be different than the way the world treats one another. We need to be loving one another. And if you hate a brother or sister in Christ, then this passage says you're in trouble. You're in deep trouble because you're a murderer at heart. And the consequences would be no eternal life found in you if you're a murderer, if you're not loving your neighbor, loving your brother and sister in Christ. The consequences are very dire. And we have to take into consideration that the way that we love one another has a direct impact on how we love God. We know what real love is because Jesus gave up his life for us. So we also ought to give up our lives for our brothers and sisters. And that's where the standard is set. Do we love that person to your right or person to your left as much as Jesus loved us? That's the evaluation that we're up against. Do you love your brother and sister enough to die for you? If someone has enough money to live well and sees a brother or sister in need but shows no compassion, how can God's love be in that person? Dear children, let's not merely say that we love each other. Let's show the truth by our actions. Our love cannot just be something that we say. It can't be just something that we just have lip service to. It has to result in action. We need to show that we love someone, not just say that we love someone. If we say that we have love, but show no compassion, then we don't have true love. To say that you care, but to not show that you care, reveals that you don't really care. 1 Peter says this, "You were cleansed from your sins when you obeyed the truth. So now you must show sincere love to each other as brothers and sisters. Love each other deeply with all your heart. For you have been born again, but not to a life that will quickly end. Your new life will last forever because it comes from the eternal living Word of God." What kind of love are we supposed to have? Sincere love. You must show sincere love. That word in the Greek means without hypocrisy. Genuine, true, real. Is that how you love your neighbor? Is that how you love your brother and sister in Christ? Now, how can we show this love to one another? How can we show each other that we love one another? C.S. Lewis says this, "Do not waste time bothering whether you love your neighbor. Act as if you did. And as soon as we do this, we find one of the great secrets. When you are behaving as if you love someone, you will presently come to love him." So, basically, fake it till you make it. Pretend that you love one another. Even if you don't really feel that you may love that person, love them anyways. Show love to them. It's the old Nike saying, just do it. We have to do something. If we say that we love one another, if we believe God's word is true and that He loved us and we are to love other people, then we have to do something. We have to put that in action. Because, you know, if you think about it, it's really important that you get to know and love that person next to you. Because we've got a really long time with one another. On the other side of this life, we're going to be with each other for a really long time. So we may as well get along with each other now while we have a chance. We need to love the way that Christ loved us. If an armed gunman walks through the door, what are you going to do? Who are you going to try to protect? What's your number one priority at that point, if that happened here this morning? This is my commandment, Jesus says. Love each other in the same way I have loved you. There is no greater love than to lay down one's life for one's friends. Jesus was the perfect Son of God. He lived a perfect life. He came to earth, lived that sinless life, and then died on the cross for our sins. And if you don't know that salvation message and haven't made it your own, I pray that you will seek Christ with your whole heart. Because I want you to hear the message of the gospel. I want you to believe it to be true, and then I want you to repent of your sins, and then make that public profession of faith through baptism. Baptism is the first step in following faith. It's the first thing that is done when in Scripture. When someone believes and repents from their sins and believes in Christ, they are baptized. And if you've confessed Jesus as Lord, then you need to take the next step and be baptized. Baptism is something that is done when you can hear the Word, when you believe the Word, and when you can repent. And that's why we don't baptize infants and children, because they can't hear and believe and repent. But if you're here and you have believed, if you have heard and believed and repented, then you need to be baptized, because that is the first thing you need to do as a follower of Christ. If you're here and you have not made that decision to be baptized, I would encourage you to talk to me after, and we're going to have some baptism classes coming up in the next few weeks. And so if you have not been baptized, I encourage you to sign up for one of these classes that will go through step by step what we're talking about when we're talking about baptism. 1 John says that we love each other because He first loved us. That love that Jesus had for us is the reason that we can love. If someone says, I love God, but hates a Christian brother or sister, that person is a liar. For if we don't love people we can see, how can we love God whom we cannot see? And He has given us this command. Those who love God must also love their Christian brothers and sisters. That makes sense, right? If we can't love the person next to us, the person who is made in God's image, how then are we supposed to love God whom we cannot see? Now listen to this. Jesus tolerates you. Jesus doesn't mind you. Jesus kind of puts up with you. Jesus doesn't dislike you. That sounds a little weird to say, doesn't it? But haven't we said those same things about our Christian brothers and sisters? We say that all the time. Well, I don't dislike the person. I put up with that person. I tolerate that person. When we love Christ the way that we're supposed to be loving Christ, then we need to be open to the reality that we need to love our brothers and sisters. If we're saying those types of things about our brothers and sisters in Christ, then maybe we're not being serious about the way that we love. So, Jesus says, now I am giving you a new commandment. Love each other, just as I have loved you. You should love one another. Your love for one another will prove to the world that you are my disciples. You see, it's not just for our benefit, and not just for the person next to you's benefit, that we are to love one another. Because God is always thinking about the outsider. God is always trying to draw people to Himself. And by the love that we have for one another should be so different from what the world sees that people should see the love we have for each other and want to know more about it. Our Christian love is not designed just for harmony in the body. It's to show the world that we are one in Christ. Others need to be able to look into this church, see the way that we love each other, not just the way that we talk about it, but by the very actions that we do, and see that something's different. They need to see that the way that Jesus loved us has changed the way we love one another. If you see someone in need, then do something about it. And I'm going back to Nike again. Just do it. If you see a need, just do something about it. If the need's too large to take care of on your own, then see if the church can help. Come talk to me. Come talk to an overseer. We have what's called the Macedonian Fund. And this is a fund by the overseers that if you see a need or if you have a need that you can't meet, and it's a financial need or a spiritual need, we have funds that can help you in your time of need. So if you see a need and you can't meet it yourself, and it's a Christian brother or sister in Christ, in this church, you come to me, and we talk about it. And we're not broadcasting to the world. It's a confidential fund who gets the money. But it's there so that we can show one another love. And you don't have to be nominated for it. If you have a need, come talk to one of us. Because that's what we're here for. We're here to help one another and to love one another. And we have to love one another. And sometimes that means putting things into action, doing something about it. Paul says, therefore, I, a prisoner for serving the Lord, beg you to lead a life worthy of your calling, for you have been called by God. Always be humble and gentle. Be patient with each other. making allowance for each other's faults because of your love. Make every effort to keep yourselves united in the Spirit, binding yourselves together in peace. For there is one body and one Spirit, just as you have been called to the one glorious hope for the future. There is one Lord, one faith, one baptism, and one God and Father who is over all and in all and living through all. Think about that. We are to be humble with one another. We are to show humility to one another. We are to be gentle toward one another. We are to be kind to one another. We're to be patient with one another. We're to make allowances for another's faults. Proverbs says, love prospers when a fault is forgiven, but dwelling on it separates close friends. We need to be forgiving one another and loving one another. We're not perfect. I am not perfect. You are definitely not perfect. Yet we still come together. We come together and we forgive one another. We laugh with one another. We cry with one another. We sometimes argue with one another. But we still love one another. We're going to wrong each other. We're going to do things that irritate each other. That's kind of living as a family. But when that happens, we need to approach it and deal with it and then let it go. We need to be united in love, because how many spirits are there? Say it. How many baptisms are there? How many churches are there? How many bodies of believers are there supposed to be? One. As part of this body of Christ, we are to forgive one another and to love one another and let that love permeate our gatherings. I have a quick quiz for you. Name in your mind the 10 wealthiest people in the world. Go. Just in your mind. Okay? Name the last 10 Heisman Trophy winners. Name the last 10 winners of the Miss America contest. I'll take the states. If you know the states, that'll work. Name 10 people who have won the Nobel or Pulitzer Prize. Name the last dozen Academy Award winners for Best Actor or Best Actress. Name the last decade's worth of World Series winners. How'd you do? You got 3-0. The point of that is to remember that even though all of those things made headlines at the time, and they were all at the top of their field at that time, we don't remember that. We don't remember the people that are making the headlines. The applause die, the awards tarnish, and the achievements are forgotten. The accolades and certificates are buried with the owners of those things. Here's another quiz for you. Think of a few teachers who aided you through your journey through school. Name 3 friends who have helped you through a difficult time. Name 5 people who have taught you something worthwhile. Think of a few people who have made you feel appreciated and feel special. Think of 5 people you enjoy spending time with. That's a lot easier, isn't it? Because those things are about loving one another. Those things are being with your brothers and sisters in Christ. And the question for you today is, will you choose to love your brothers and your sisters? Will you choose love? Will you choose to forgive? Turn to the person next to you again and say, I choose love. Because love, look, lots of love going on. I've lost control of the love. Love is a choice. Guys, we can choose to be hateful. We can choose to hate the person next to us. We can choose to tolerate the person next to us. We can choose to hold a grudge. Or we can choose to love. And I am going to choose love. I hope you will choose love as well. In fact, turn to that friend again and say, I choose love. Will you choose to love one another? You all said it, at least, today. You said, I choose love. So as you go from this place today, I pray that you will choose love. When you look to that person to your right, when you look at that person to your left, please choose love.
You've been listening to Pastor Kevin Daniels at Hayes Christian Church. Hayes Christian Church is a non-denominational fellowship in Hayes, Kansas. We are supported by the generosity of our members, attenders, and friends. The financial support we raise goes to projects which further spread the gospel to those who do not yet know Jesus, to local, national, and international missions, and they help to keep these podcasts free. If you'd like to share a monetary gift with us, please visit our webpage at hayeschristianchurch.org and click on the donate button. Or you may mail your gift to P.O. Box 1111, Hayes, Kansas 67601. If you have questions, comments, or would like more information, we would love to hear from you. Simply go to our webpage and click on the Contact Us form. Thank you for your generosity, and may God bless you as you seek to follow Him.